Well, we're going to look today at Luke chapter 1. This is the beginning of the account of Jesus' birth. You know, Luke is a gospel writer, happens also to be a physician. And he is the writer of both the book of Luke, which we're going to be in today in the New Testament, and the book of Acts. After the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, Luke penned to the same audience another book of the Acts of the Church or the Acts of the Apostles. You might even say the Acts of the Holy Spirit. What did the Holy Spirit do in the powerful and mighty work of Christ once he was ascended and enthroned in heaven with his Father? And so if you will, take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 1. Take your time if you need to, that's okay. The verses will be on the screen, but it's always good to lay your eyes in your copy of God's Word and to look at it in that way together. And so today, if you don't have a copy of that Word in your life, we've got a gift for you on the way out, a little table back there in the back, a little black table. We've got some copies of the Bible back there, reliable copies for you to take with you at no cost. We don't want anyone leaving here without a good copy of God's Word in their life, okay? And so grab one for free, no strings attached. I want you to have that. Let's read this together. Verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, not just an angel, but a named angel, capital G, Gabriel. This is a special delegation. The angel Gabriel was sent from God. He didn't just come on his own. He was sent, he was dispatched, and he was dispatched from the realm of the eternal God himself. This is very personal. He was sent to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed or engaged. They're engaged to be married, but they're not married. A virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." You might think of many Old Testament greetings when out of nowhere and inexplicably and really unreasonably, God or the angel of God would appear to someone to whom it made no sense for God to appear. You might remember Gideon when he was there weak in the threshing floor, hiding from the enemies of God, and it was dangerous, and he was down there in the threshing, not the threshing floor, he was in the wine press, threshing out wheat, hiding from the enemies of God, and all of a sudden an angel appeared and said, "Greetings, O mighty man of valor." That's not true, it didn't make sense. And God appears to this little virgin, this little lady, engaged to be married to Joseph in a no-name town somewhere. And she says, and he says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly, verse 29, but she was greatly troubled at the saying. That is to say, very afraid. And tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not fear, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Capital M, capital H. This is a name for God, unmistakably. "He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." How long? Endlessly. "And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called holy." Different. Altogether other is what holy means. That one of a kind, there's only one of him, just like there's only one of God. He will be called holy, the Son of God. "And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." She couldn't have any children. in her old age. She was just forsaken and set aside as barren, and now something's happening. She's 6 months expecting. For nothing, verse 37, will be impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. We see some mismatches here. We see God doing something incredible, and we see the presence of the angel Gabriel. However that appeared, we see a promise and miracles taking place, but we see it happening in some mismatched places. And that's what we're going to look at today. The strange way that God sent Jesus into the world. When we moved to Georgia a few years ago, we had to learn some things about people here and about your ways in Georgia. And one thing we learned is the car that you see someone driving does not always match the person. And my oldest son, Jackson, and I, we like to look at cars and talk about cars. We like to pass judgment upon your cars. And so we look at cars driving down the road, and we talk about, you know, what we like, what we don't like. And most of the time, you can tell who's driving a car by what type it is, right? If it's a minivan, you expect a certain type of a person to get out of it. If it's a little, what do they call it, a Beetle, a Bug, you know, a Volkswagen, you expect a certain person about it to get out of it. We found that that does not hold true as much here in Oakwood as it did where we're used to. And so we'll see maybe a little Beetle Bug or a little minivan driving down the road. And you know when it pulls into the parking spot, you know a little teenage girl, or in the case of a minivan, a soccer mom is going to get out of that. And you know what a soccer mom, Karen, right? You know what a soccer mom is. Just kidding if you're a soccer mom. But you know what that is. But at our Ingles down here, or at the Publix or the Kroger, you see minivans come in and the little pictures on the back with the four members and the dog. And you think some nicely tempered little lady's going to get out of that, a mom. And then you look a little closer, and it's a big Bubba, right? Big black leather wearing tattoos getting out of a minivan. It doesn't make sense, or out of a little Bug. You see a big old pickup truck driving down the road with huge tires and the big LED lights that y'all like to put on the front of your cars. And you're going down the road. You say, "Oh man, look at that truck!" Pulls into the handicap spot at the pharmacy, right? You think, who's going to get out of there? Why are they taking so long? It's because they got to get their walker out. It's a little old lady. It's Miss Grace, from the church here, getting out to go get her prescription. There, you know when things are mismatched, right? One does not go with the other. And God is telling us something. He's telling the world something in the way that Jesus was announced and in the way that Jesus came, in a way that just doesn't make sense. It would make sense for Jesus to get out of a Rolls Royce, but he comes in driving a Pinto into our world. And so let's look at these mismatches together real quick. The first one we see is this. We see Jesus came into our world. He came to a rejected place. Jesus came to a rejected place. Where did he come? To Galilee, to Nazareth. These are no name little towns that if Jesus had not been born there, nobody would know where they were. In that time, nobody did know where they were. We know it now because of the Bible. Look how Nazareth is described. In the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent to us from God to a city. He had to describe, this was a, what is that? It's a city named Nazareth. It had to be explained, right? Galilee was a place that was full of mixed up people. It was an ugly, undesirable place. And in Galilee, there was a little town that nobody knew about and that nobody wanted to go to. It was named Nazareth. It's described this way because nobody knew it. If you look in John 1, when Jesus begins drawing his disciples, there's a man named Nathanael. And somebody comes to him, I believe it was Philip, and he said, "Listen, I want to introduce you to Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael says, "Nothing good comes out of Nazareth," right? It was an ugly, it's like Rabbit Town down here. I got here and somebody said, "You need to eat at the Rabbit Town Cafe." I said, "The what?" And they said, it's down here at Rabbit Town. "Don't you know where Rabbit Town is?" I said, "No, I don't." Yeah, I barely know where Gainesville is. You know, if you've talked to somebody outside of Gainesville, you say, "Well, I live in Flowery Branch." Well, where's that near? It's near Gainesville. What's that near? I guess it's kind of near Athens. What's that? It's kind of near Atlanta. Nobody says it's right down from Rabbit Town, right? I mean, that's just, it's not in our vocabulary. That's what Nazareth was. It was a no-name place. That's where the Messiah decides to come. It's amazing to me that Jesus, the eternal God, the Son here of the capital M, capital H, the Most High, chooses to come to a rejected place. Why did he do that? Why didn't he come to Jerusalem? I mean, seriously, why didn't he come to the capital city or the place of all the action? And I want you to know this morning that the way that Jesus enters our world shows us something about his passion to save. There is no place out of reach when God comes. Do you see that? What's he saying to us? He said, there is no place beyond my reach when God comes down into our world. There is no corner of our globe where salvation is not going to go. There is no one beneath the threshold of deserving to be saved or by our worldly standards being considered loved by God. There is no situation that you're facing. There is no community that you're from. There's no background, no wealth standard, no school, no household that God cannot look into your life and say, I am here and I love you. God is a God who saves. He comes to a rejected place, but he comes to an unworthy life. You might say, well, you shouldn't say Mary is unworthy. That's the mother of the Savior. And I don't mean that she's unworthy, more unworthy than any of the rest of us. But I do mean to say this. She was a young lady. She was an unmarried lady. She was yet a virgin. She was a poor person, meager means. She probably was illiterate and could not even read, if that makes sense. This was the type of person who their best hope was to probably live a poor life, to raise several poor children, to grow old, and to die within miles of the place that she was born. This is the person that Jesus decides to come to. And look what the angel says to Mary. He says, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. She was greatly troubled at this saying. I want to ask you a question today. Why do you think Mary was afraid? What was she afraid of? I mean, clearly it was a dramatic situation, and who knows what the angel looked like, but I think she was afraid because power does not usually encounter weakness on good terms. And especially in her life, power had not encountered weakness under pleasant conditions. Think about some people of power in your life, in your school, the principal. When the principal called you to his office, was that a pleasant situation? Probably not. Think about the blue lights in your rearview mirror. When power and weakness, when you see those blue lights, when power encounters weakness, it's usually not a welcome experience. Think about the district manager when he shows up. I mean, he might be a good guy. He probably is, right? But when he comes up, you stand up a little straighter and you want to know, why is this guy there? You may have somebody serving in the military overseas. You may have a son or daughter there, and you may get a phone call from the president one day, but it's not for him just to say hello. When that happens, you swallow hard. Power and weakness do not come together under good circumstances. That is a rule of our world. Yet Jesus enters into our world in just that way. Why was she terrified? She was terrified because the presence of such great power could only mean doom for her. She didn't deserve to be there. The angel says, do not be afraid, Mary. He calls her by her name. This is rare in Scripture. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. The way Jesus entered the world opened the personal presence of God to those who had the least hope of expecting it ever. They were outside of God's promises. The favor of God would not be given on the basis of human worth. And I want you to know this morning what a promise and what a relief that we have sitting here today. This is not just an ancient thing, but when God came into our world, we have the hope of receiving him and being received by him precisely because God, through Jesus, came to a rejected place and to an unworthy life. But third, what's the third mismatch? An incomprehensible plan. The angel lays out his plan here to Mary. It says, behold, you will conceive in your womb. I love this. I love how thorough it is and how complete it is. I'm not just going to send Jesus figuratively. You're not just going to be his adopted mother or his stepmother, or you're not just going to be a figurehead mom. You're going to conceive, and not in a manner of speaking, in your body. In the way that babies are conceived, you're going to conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. God's plan is complete here. You're going to conceive him, you're going to bear him, it's going to be in your body, and you're going to name him. There's no unfinished business here. But we do see some propositions that don't belong together. They don't belong together. They can't compute, they can't both simultaneously be true. And here's what they are. That Mary, being a human, would bear a son in the normal way, and also that son would be the eternal God. That can't match up together. It does not go, and Mary recognizes this. It's an incomprehensible plan. There are some things that just don't go together. You might think of bleach and vinegar. I found this out the hard way the other day. And Erica was out of town, and I decided to clean the kitchen sink, and I mixed them up together and got down there and scrubbing. It produces chlorine gas. And I breathed it all in and had a coughing fit, thought I was going to have to ask Reese to drive me to the hospital. You know, it was bad. This gas came up because I mixed the wrong things. I read an article the other day. Anybody ever drank one of these? Red Bull? Jackson? Okay, I'm very proud. But this is an energy drink. It vitalizes body and mind, it says, okay? It's full of caffeine and maybe some other ingredients that really hype you up. Somebody gave this to me this morning. I had planned to talk about it anyway, but I read an article the other day that you should never mix Red Bull and milk. I know y'all all were going to rush out and do that anyway, but Red Bull and milk, it said you should never mix it, and then they didn't say why. It left me wondering, you know. I read about a boy who did mix it. You know, he mixed up Red Bull and milk. He's not been seen or heard of since. We don't know what happened to him, you know. Pieces of him were found. But Red Bull, you don't mix certain things. And it's never been heard of in all of history that the divine and the human would come together in this way. It is an incomprehensible plan. It doesn't make sense in any respect. The baby would come not only to a little lady, he would be born in her womb, that she would conceive him and bear him, but the family that he came into was what? It was a carpenter's family. It was a poor family. This Jesus comes to us in a way that he enters the world and reveals how completely God sets out to save. God stepped from heaven to earth. He came from heaven to earth so we could step from earth into heaven. There was no other way. He walked the path that he did not have to walk so we could walk in a place that we don't deserve to walk. He came eternally existing and surrendered himself to be born as a baby, not even in control of his own faculties. Be born as a baby from a carpenter's betrothed fiance. That's amazing. He came with an incomprehensible plan. But lastly, he came with an impossible circumstance. The angel delivers a message here of how this is going to be, and Mary asks a very sensible question. She says, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit is going to do this. It's going to be the power of the Most High that will overshadow you. The child will be called the Son of God. It's an impossible circumstance. Mary implies that what the angel has suggested is an indisputable impossibility. It cannot happen. She has not been married yet. She's still a virgin. how in the world is she going to bear a son? And the angel takes her to the example of her relative and says, your relative, Elizabeth, is expecting right now. She who was called barren and who is aging, she's expecting a baby for what? Nothing will be impossible with God. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe and remember that nothing shall be impossible with God? There's nothing God cannot do. And the word here is a, the prefix a or a, dynateo. It's the power of God, the ability of God. Nothing is a dynateo. Nothing is without ability for God. Nothing is without strength for God. Everything that God sets out to do, he is able to do. We went down to Burger King the other day, and they had something called the Impossible Whopper. This is a meat patty made out completely of vegetables, right? I thought, I want to try this. This is supposed to be impossible. I want to check it out and see if it tastes good or not. Let me tell you, it tastes impossible. Don't go eat the Impossible Whopper. It's a burger made out of veggies. If they make veggies out of a burger, then I'll go eat that, you know. But you don't want, nobody wants a burger made out of veggies. It was an Impossible Whopper and they fell short. When God says, listen, I'm here and I'm about to do the impossible. I'm about to send my son Jesus into your world. He's going to be a savior. The book of Matthew tells us, as this was announced to Joseph, his name will be Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. When he comes to us and says, I'm going to do something impossible, it's not our job to say, no, Lord, that can't be. It's our job to say, yes, Lord, here I go. He is going to do something impossible in the way that he sends Jesus. This shows us again that the way that Jesus entered the world is an undeniable certification of his identity as God. He does the impossible. Who could be born this way? Nobody except God. Who could accomplish this? Nobody except God. It's a confirmation of his singular authority to bring forgiveness. What's he going to do? He's going to come into the world. Who's he going to save? He loved the world so much that whosoever believes in him, he can bring salvation. And who says so? Well, look at the way he was born. Look at the way he died. And look now at the way he lives. There is a singular Savior, and there is one who brings salvation, and he came at Christmas. You know, the corollary to all this is, without Jesus, we'd have no hope. If you take all of Scripture and you cut out the first chapters of the Gospels that tell us about the coming of the Lord Jesus, say you just tear out those pages from this, and we have everything else still here, but no Jesus, we're without hope. And so this morning, as we come to a conclusion, I want you to ask yourself a couple of questions. I want you to remember that being born the way he was not the only impossible thing that God ever did. It's not the only impossible thing. Our sin had humanity in an impossible situation. We were in an impossible situation with our sin. And so this morning, if you're here and forgiven, it is only because of Jesus. You take Jesus out, you're not forgiven, and you're here with no hope. If today you're still in your sin, and there is no Jesus in your life, I want you to know that he came to a mismatched world so he could save mismatched people. That Jesus mismatched himself and laid low in this dirt and walked this road so that we could be mismatched and ride high and walk in the place of heaven. But we can have this because of Jesus. You see, the birth of Jesus leaves no room for not responding. You're either grateful or you need to be saved, and that's it. And that's what Jesus came to do. Let me pray for us. Just a moment, I'd like to offer you a time of response, and maybe you'd take a moment to just think this morning about the glory of Christmas. Maybe you take a moment to just put aside some of the glitz and the glamour and the tradition, and remember this morning that we have a Savior only because of what God did on this day. I hope you'll take a moment to remember the time when you were in the situation that Mary was and in the grip of sin as the entire world was before Jesus came. Remember that lostness and remember when all of a sudden God revealed to you that there is a Savior and He has come to your ruined life. He has come to your sinful existence. He has come to your brokenness and He wants to save. Maybe you, like Mary, said, "No, no, no, that's impossible, Lord. No, you wouldn't come to me." And God says, "Yes, I'm here and I've come because I love you." Maybe you just come to God in gratitude this morning. Or maybe there's a possibility you're here today or you're hearing this message at some other time and you realize that there's never been a moment in your life when you've said yes to what Jesus did. He said yes to you. He came to this earth and never turned back from giving His life for you, but you've never said yes to Him. I invite you to come to the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God and we thank You for trusting it to us. We pray for each family here today, and if there's a person whose life needs Your hand laid upon it today and Your Spirit to bring them to repentance, I pray that You would do that very thing. And if there's those in here today who need to remember a gratitude and to recall a deliverance, Lord, then I pray that You would bring that to us today as well. Help us to step differently from here because of Jesus, we pray in His name. Amen. Let's stand and sing, and as we do, you're welcome to respond.